When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to it's one of those days, but I'm not going to edit this out. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. Before we jump in, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. Their customer service is next to none. Period. That's all you got to say. Mention Coach Unplugged, and they'll give you $350 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. If you're looking for help, if you're looking for a community, if you're looking for answers, and you don't want to spend 8 hours watching Zoom calls or going to clinics or surfing the web, come over. Check out teachhoops.com. It will help you become a better basketball coach. Let's head off to the podcast.
All right, let's head off to part one of our interview with Patrick.
Coach Unplugged. I got to make sure I hit the right button there. Coach, so I was just getting off office hours for teachhoops, and so I haven't read through your entire resume. So what I'm going to have you do is introduce yourself to the listeners. What I usually do is have people go through and kind of discuss their basketball journey, and then we'll talk about how you've become an athletic director and gone to the dark side. So I hope my AD's listen to this. And then he's my son's godfather, so I think I'm okay. And then we'll talk about the tournament and stuff. We're really excited about coming down. It's great. Snowed in Wisconsin, so we got inches of snow. So we're very excited, trust me. All right, so go ahead, introduce yourself and tell the audience about your basketball journey.
Yeah. Coach, first off, I appreciate you having me on. I'm Pat Holler, and I'm the director of athletics at Windermere Prep in Windermere, Florida. The journey has definitely been interesting along the way, I would say. I think from Catholic schools in Pennsylvania, to Oxbridge Academy in West Palm Beach, Florida, working for the people I've worked to, and then on my way up to Windermere Prep to start to sort of adjust the culture of what we want our athletic programs to look like. And that's something I think over the years of being in coaching, it's become more of a mainstay center focus of what our culture is and what it needs to be. I think I've learned over the years, and I'm sure you understand this very well, Coach, that you can never win enough. So it's got to be about something more than what the scoreboard says.
Yes, if my brother, I don't remember who told me this. He goes, because I've won 3 state titles. He goes, if you're only happy if you win your last game, you're going to have a miserable career, Steve. I remember that very early. I go, I never really thought about that, because there's really only like a couple coaches that are happy at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know, I coached boys volleyball, and we lost in a couple steps before the state tournament. But it was a fun year. I had so much fun. It was a great group. But culture is that unique kind of word. You know, when I took over our program, we were horrible. No, and it took 5-6 years to just slowly build that culture of here's the expectations, here's what you want, here's you know, and then it becomes like a family, because every family has expectations. Like, you better take out the trash when I tell you to do it. It's right. No different in a team. A team is just an extension of a family, to be honest with you.
And it's something, you know, Coach, that we try to talk about with our coaches. We have a lot of younger coaches at the school. Find guys you can lose with. Because if you can lose with them, you can sure heck win with them. So that includes staff. That includes players. Like, you know, what's it like? You know, I'm sure you can understand this, and I've said this. You know, a lot of my philosophy came. So I was an assistant baseball coach in high school back in PA at the Catholic school. We win a state championship. And I'm sitting in the locker room after the game, and we had won like 14-1 in 5 innings. And I look at one of the other assistants, and I said, this is it? Like, I expected to feel something different. I remember getting on the bus and saying to our head coach, who was my assistant in basketball, man, we got to do something different. Like, it has to be more worth our while than this. You know, you can understand this, I'm pretty sure. You've gotten off a bus after a 30-point win and said, we're never playing like that again. Like, body language was bad. The eye contact was bad. Timeouts were bad. The guys sitting on the bench were not into it. And you've gotten off a bus after a 5-point loss and said, that's it. That's how we're going to play basketball.
Right.
The ball, people move, defensive help, talk, bench was awesome, coach was – we just didn't win the game. You know, whatever happened. We missed a couple of shots or made a bad pass here or there, and that's going to – you know, that communication, that'll all work ourselves out in the year. But, man, if we play that way, we're going to win a whole bunch.
Win a lot of games. That's all right. Trust me. This is live. I've had just – can you wave to me, bud? Come introduce yourself. Come on. You can come say hi. What's your name?
Carson.
Carson, you play basketball?
Oh, yeah. He's 7. We're getting 7. There.
We're getting there.
He's baseball, yeah, too.
Oh, well, you live in Florida. Everybody plays baseball in Florida.
Choice. All right, go get him.
It's nice out.
Hi, man.
Oh, gosh. So I've got a senior. I've got a senior. And then I've got a freshman daughter. So I got a senior son and a freshman daughter. So I don't even remember that age, to be honest.
Yeah, so we have 4 of them.
Okay.
My oldest is 14. She's in 8th grade. And then the youngest is 3. So.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's a wide range.
Yeah.
So how did you end up in – so where were you born and how did you end up in Florida?
Sure. You know, Johnstown, PA.
Okay.
You know, Western PA mindset, sort of how we operate, how we do things. A guy who had hired me at 22 to be a head basketball coach at one of the Catholic schools in Western PA eventually became the athletic director at Oxbridge Academy in West Palm.
Okay.
We sort of stayed in contact, and I don't know, sort of tired of just being in the coaching, athletic administration, was young kids on the way, and moved to Florida and took the job and as an SID basketball coach, essentially.
Okay.
And, you know, we had 2 great seasons. The school's very young. It's only in its 8th year. And then we had some turnover and some transition. Some things happened. I got elevated to athletic director and, you know, felt time that was this Windermere prep job was just something that was intriguing because it's a 3-year-old through 12th grade. So with all of our kids at one school, my wife,
that'd be nice. There. And how big is the school?
We almost have 1600 kids in the school.
So that's not high school for
the high school. High school is about 650.
Okay. And so people that don't know where Windermere is, I know where Windermere is because I'm like, you can see the back, I'm like a Disney fanatic. So I've already told my managers I'm taking them on the Sunday. I said, if we're in the championship, it's going to be harder for me, but I'm going to make it work. But
yeah.
So is it a prep school? So explain how it is. Is it counties? How's your tournament? How does all that stuff work in Florida?
So it is a little different, and we're sort of getting back into almost, like I've said, the PA model. The state tournaments, you're bound by districts. At one time, you had to play everybody in your district. You no longer have to play everybody in your district.
Okay.
It's seeded based on a state ranking system in the district tournament. and sort of play it out from there. If you win your district, you advance to the, you know, the regionals. And if you don't, you still can fall. You can fall into that sort of four at-large bids to play your way in. I sort of like the system. It's actually worked out pretty well in girls volleyball this year, although it didn't work out well for our team. But I like how it's set up. It worked out well for our golf program. You know, the state's always trying to do the best it can.
And how far are you from Orlando?
Well,
where do the kids come from? That's the bigger question. How big of a radius is the is Windermere drawing from?
Well, you know what? It's an international school, so there's kids. Okay. We have kids from all over the world.
Okay.
And we're owned by Nord Anglia, which owns about 100 schools worldwide. Okay. So we definitely have an influx of international students as well as local students. One of our young kids on the basketball team is a 6'9 kid from China who's early committed to Florida. So verbal. Nice player, you know, but definitely working hard and wanted to get into the culture of the United States and classes. And, you know, I think that's some of the, that's a nice thing about our school. It offers that opportunity.
So tell me, let's go through your coaching journey. So several different high schools. What is there one thing you could share with, I have a lot of young coaches that listen to this. Something that happened to you in your coaching career that you want to share? Like a success, a failure, a turning point?
Hey, everybody. Hope you're enjoying it. I'm going to give a big shout out to our two other podcasts in the Coach Market Media conglomerate, Teacher Side Gig. So go over and check that out. And High School Hoops. So Teacher Side Gig is talking about teachers and their side gigs and how they make a little bit of extra money. And High School Hoops talks about High School Hoops talks about obviously high school basketball once a week, and we try to keep that as pertinent. That's kind of like your day. If things are going on, we're talking about that. We do those weekly, and it's always fun for me to talk to Jake about that. Make sure you subscribe and like to this one. Leave a review. We would appreciate that. And go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. All right, let's get back to the podcast.
An aha moment, something like that?
Yeah, so we had, you know, early on in my career, building a program from scratch, almost like you. It was called Bishop Carroll. By year three, you know, 20-win season, which they hadn't had in a long time, district champion in the state playoffs. Had an opportunity then go back to my alma mater, which was Bishop McCourt, and had immediate success just sort of establishing how we're going to do things. I mean, you know, you, when you wear that uniform one time in your life and bleed, it's easier to sell what you're trying to sell. So we had a lot of years of success, and then we sort of got punched in the mouth a little bit. And In conjunction with the baseball team having success, which I was an assistant on, and we were having two down seasons. I mean, we still won 15 or 16 games. It wasn't our best teams.
Right.
I realized at that point, man, I'm not teaching the game the way it needs to be taught. You know, I'm focused on the results. I'm focused on the score. I'm not focused on making sure we're making good V cuts, L cuts, showing your outside hand, facing up, you know,
footwork. Getting better is what I tell my guys. If in November we're here, our upside better be better than everyone else's upside. That's all I really care about.
Yep.
I tell them, I said, if we do that, we'll be there at the end.
Yep.
Like we'll be competitive. That's all you want.
You can vouch for this, coach. Like I said, you know, when we get to February in Pennsylvania, I said, I want to see how we handle being on the road in February, down eight, going into the fourth quarter. What type of team do we have? What type of coaching staff? Where are we all in this thing together to figure out how do we start to come back in that game, win that game on the road? We know we have a 45-minute ride home in 20 degrees or 8 degrees.
Right.
What's our toughness? What's our mental toughness?
Why I love coming to these tournaments, I'm telling you, because we won Kingdom of the Sun in 2017. It was 2017, and it was like, it was four games in 4 days or something. It was something crazy, but I knew after we won that thing, it's like, all right, this was great that we won it. But I said, ooh, we got something, because that's brutal. That's like, it's grind, you know? And it's like, it's always those little tests along the way.
You're right. Coach, I'm gonna ask you, are you, you know, being in Wisconsin, what formed your basketball philosophy? Has it been the Wisconsin style of basketball?
It depends on my group, to be honest with you. That group that we won with Kingdom of the Sun, we're gonna beat you 45-42. The group I got now, we're going up. I mean, you just got athletes that got kids that can shoot. Yeah. So it's a little different. So I think a good coach kind of adjusts to it.
Yep.
You know, I coach Wesley, who plays for the Bucks, Wesley Matthews plays for the Bucks, and when I had those guys shoot, I had a good seat for it, I guess, but we just kind of went.
Yeah.
I was just directing. It just kind of depends. You know, I think obviously, Matt, if we can play man. I mean, Wisconsin has the Bennetts and Bo. Everybody, you know, if we got to play man, we'll play man. And we'll play it as well as anybody around, because that's just a Wisconsin thing.
Right.
You know, we'll know our deficiencies. We'll play pack. We'll do – I mean, if we have to do it, we can.
So let me ask you, and I'm just curious to know, because, again, it's so funny that we're talking here tonight, because I would say – 4 years ago, maybe I came across you somewhere.
Oh, really?
Be it online or something that intrigued me about what you said or what you were teaching. I don't even really remember. But I knew when I came down to Oxbridge and took over that basketball program, it was an opportunity for me as a reboot to say, okay, how am I going to do this? You know, I know I sort of burned out the last time with it. How do I redo this to enjoy that process? So it's something I must have searched and found what you were teaching. I don't remember what – I just remember the – you know, when I saw the email come through the other day, I said, wait a second. I've heard
– That name sounds – that's good. That's great.
So I guess my question for you is, so if you are in a pack line, if you are that style of defensive team, number one, is there a shot clock in Wisconsin?
There is not.
So there was –
one in Florida? There wasn't one in Florida, is there? No.
Not in Florida, not in PA either. So you're okay in the pack line of allowing middle drive.
Yeah, I am at times. And the thing is, and we'll do different things. We'll push sideline too. We'll do some Texas Tech and we'll trap you in the base. We'll change it up. You know, that's the thing. What's your feeling on the shot clock? This is an interesting from an athletic director standpoint.
So two things. One, about 3 or 4 years ago, we went up to Bishop McNamara over the holidays and played in the Bishop McNamara tournament. And we won it playing with a shot clock, playing, as I always laugh about with those kids and that we had, the talent we had, playing Western PA style basketball.
Right.
You know, ball moves, people move, we're going to help on defense, which is not really a Florida thing.
It's different. I'm telling you, I think that's one of the reasons we won Kingdom of the Sun. We ended up playing an Ohio team in the championship, but they were looking at us like, what are you doing? I go, well, I've got a kid that's going to Dartmouth who's a legit mid-major, high major.
Right.
He's really smart, so he's going to Dartmouth.
Right.
We can play, but we can play if we're not – we can't have 90 possessions or we're going to lose to you.
Right. And that's the Florida model, right? So we were sort of that team, too, that was going to be opposite of what everybody else was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Win that tournament with the shot clock. Because everyone just – they got up there, and it was almost like their comfort zone because we had been practicing that way for so long. We come back to Florida after that tournament. We beat McNamara that year at their place. We come back the next game after the holidays. We scored 9 points in the first half against the team we had beaten by 50 at the start of the year. Because our kid just sort of went back to, well, we're in Florida now. We do – this is how we
– right.
Almost like, well, no, okay, not. So the shot clock was great. I enjoyed it. From an athletic director standpoint, we struggle finding the necessary workers to run the game clock, to run the tickets. Right. You're going to have to add another person now to run the shot clock. And then that person needs to know the rules.
The list is long.
It's long. Yeah. So I do love it. I just don't think people – I mean, I think a lot of people in Florida see it on TV and think, well, everyone's going to have this help. Well, not everyone does have this
help. So here's my argument against it.
Yeah.
And I sound like the old guy getting off my – get off my porch kind of yelling. Okay. So but here's the issue. First of all, what I think makes high school basketball unique is you can have more than one style. You can go up and down. And I've coached them in 30 years. I've coached every possible style. I've been the grinder. I've been the up and down. I'm going to score more than you. I think that's one thing. If you watch college and NBA, all the games are very similar. They all kind of run the same stuff.
Yep.
Don't let – and I'm a stats teacher. I teach statistics. Don't let the one game that's 12-6 think that happens. It happens it's an outlier. It happens, but it's like the plane crashing. Yeah. It makes the news because it's a unique thing.
Yep.
That's the second thing is, I think, why are we messing with something that works? Now, we play halves. You guys play quarters?
Quarters.
Okay, so that's going to be unique for my guys. They're going to love
16-minute halves?
Yeah, we play 18-minute halves.
I love that.
Here's why I like 18-minute halves. It makes me play more kids.
Yeah.
No one plays the entire half.
Right.
Like, no one. It's like a college game. If you watch a college game, no one plays 20 minutes in the
– Right.
So I know every game I got to rest guys. Like, yeah. I got to pull them out, give them a minute or two blow, and then they can go again. So two 18-minute halves. I wish we had an extra timeout or a non-carryover one, but we don't. But the quarter thing, I'm going to love the quarter thing because I miss that teaching moment between the two. Because when we get to the state tournament, it's like every 4 minutes there's a break. So it breaks it up.
Yeah.
But I love that that rule made sense to me in the sense that it kind of forced my hand to play more kids.
Yeah.
Great. It's better for kids.
Yeah.
The shot clock does not. The argument that we're getting them ready to play in college is ludicrous. Like, right. Like 4% of them are going to play in college. Why are we getting ready?
Exactly.
And it's not really that big of a problem. Like,
hey, everybody, hope you enjoyed that. If you want to support us, you want to help us keep the lights on here at teachhoops.com, go over, join, 14-day free trial, and then stop the car, subscribe, like, Apple 5-star review. That would be good. All right, maybe. Have a good day. Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.